The third Sunday after Pentecost, Mass. The faithful soul has now witnessed in the Holy Liturgy the close of the mysteries of our redemption. The Holy Ghost has come down to support her during this second portion of her career, by forming and developing within her the fullness of the Christian life, as taught by her divine Savior when on earth. He begins by teaching her how to pray. Prayer, said our Lord, must be continual. We ought always to pray, and not to faint. Footnote, St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 1. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmity, and himself asketh for us with unspeakable groanings. Footnote, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the introit and the whole Mass for this Sunday, we are taught that prayer must have, amongst its other requisite qualities, that of humble repentance for our past sins, and of confidence in God's infinite mercy. This is the third Sunday after Pentecost. It is the first that has no rubrical connection with the great feasts we have been solemnizing. It is a Sunday with all the simplicity of the office of the time. Introit. Look thou upon me, and have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am alone and poor. See my abjection and my labor, and forgive me all my sins, O my God. To thee, O Lord, have I lifted up my soul. In thee, O my God, I place my trust. Let me not be ashamed. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Collect. O God, the protector of those who hope in thee, without whose aid nothing is strong, nothing holy, increase thy mercy towards us, that under thy direction and conduct we may so pass through the blessings of this life as not to lose those which are eternal. Second Collect. Preserve us, O Lord, we beseech thee, from all dangers of soul and body, and by the intercession of the glorious and blessed Mary, the ever-Virgin Mother of God, of blessed Joseph, of the blessed Apostles Peter and Paul, and of all the saints, grant us in thy mercy health and peace, that all adversities and errors being removed, thy church may serve thee with undisturbed liberty. The third collect is left to the priest's own choice. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. Peter the Apostle, 1, chapter 5. Dearly beloved, be ye humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation, casting all your care upon him, for he hath care of you. Be sober and watch, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist ye strong in faith, knowing that the same affliction befalls your brethren who are in the world? But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you, and confirm you, and establish you. To him be glory and empire for ever and ever. Amen. The miseries of this present life are the test to which God puts his soldiers. He passes judgment upon them and classifies them according to the degree of courage they have shown. Therefore is it that we all have our share of suffering. The combat has commenced. God is looking on, watching how each of us comports himself. The day is not far off when the judge will pass sentence on the merits of each combatant and award to each one the recompense he has won. Combat now, peace and rest and a crown then. Happy they who during these days of probation have recognized the mighty hand of God in all the trials they have had, and have humbled themselves under its pressure, lovingly and confidingly. Against such Christians, who have been strong in faith, the roaring lion has not been able to prevail. They were sober, they were watchful during this their pilgrimage. They were fully convinced of this, that everyone has to suffer in the present life. They, therefore, never sighed and moaned, as though they were the only sufferers. They did not assume the attitude of victims and call it resignation. But they took each trial as it came, and without talking to everyone about it, they quietly and joyously united it with the sufferings of Christ. O true Christians, you will be joyous for all eternity, when there will be made the manifestation of that eternal glory in Christ Jesus, which he will pass on to you, that you may share it with him forever. The gradual keeps up the same strain. It encourages the faithful soul to confidence. Let her cast all her care upon her heavenly Father. Has he not always graciously heard her in all her troubles and necessities? As to enemies, let her cast away the thought. God will think of that, and if it so please him, will avenge the soul they persecuted. Gradual. Cast thy care upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. When I cried out to the Lord, he graciously heard my voice against those who were coming upon me. Alleluia, alleluia. God is a just judge, strong and patient. Is he angry every day? Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15. At that time, the publicans and sinners drew near unto him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, What man of you that hath 100 sheep, and if he shall lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the desert, and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, lay it upon his shoulders, rejoicing, and coming home call together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. I say to you, that even so there shall be joy in heaven upon one sinner that doth penance, more than upon 99 just, who need not penance. Or what woman, having 10 groats, if she lose 1 groat, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, call together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, because I have found the groat which I had lost. So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. The parable of the sheep that is carried back to the fold on the shepherd's shoulders was a favorite one with the early Christians, and they made representations of it at almost every turn. The same is put before us in today's gospel, that our confidence may be strengthened in God's infinite mercy. It reminds us in its own beautiful way of our Lord Jesus, whom we contemplated a few weeks back, ascending triumphantly into heaven, carrying thither in his arms the lost human family, which he had won back from Satan and death and sin. For as St. Ambrose says, quote, Who is the shepherd of our parable? It is Christ, who carries thee, poor man, in his own body, and has taken all thy sins upon himself. The sheep is one, not by number, but by its kind. Rich shepherd this, of whose flock all we human beings form but the 100th part. For he has the angels and archangels and dominations and powers and thrones and all the rest, all those other countless flocks whom he has left yonder up the mountain, that he might run after the one sheep he had lost. End quote. Footnote. St. Ambrose in Lucom 7. But it is from St. Gregory the Great that the Church, in her Matins of this Sunday, took the commentary on this Gospel. And in the sequel of his homily, the Holy Doctor gives us the explanation of the parable of the woman and the 10 groats. He, says St. Gregory, quote, "that is signified by the shepherd is also meant by the woman. Jesus is God. He is the wisdom of God. And because good coin must bear the image of the king upon it, therefore was it that the woman lost her groat, when man, who had been created after God's image, strayed from that image by committing sin. But the woman lights a lamp. The wisdom of God hath appeared in human flesh. A lamp is a light which burns in a vessel of clay, and light in a vessel of clay is the divinity in our flesh. It is of the vessel of his body that this wisdom says, 'My strength is dried up like a potsherd.'" Footnote, Psalm 21, verse 16. "For just as clay is made hard by the fire, so his strength was dried up like a potsherd, because it is strengthened unto the glory of his resurrection in the crucible of sufferings, the flesh, which he, wisdom, had assumed." Having found the groat she had lost, the woman calleth together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the groat which I had lost." Who are these friends and neighbors, if not the heavenly spirits, who are so near to divine wisdom by the favors they enjoy of the ceaseless vision? But we must not, meanwhile, neglect to examine why this woman, who represents divine wisdom, is described as having 10 groats, one of which she loses, then looks for, and again finds. We must know, then, that God made both angels and men, that they might know him, and that having made both immortal, he made both to the image of God. The woman, then, had 10 groats, because there are 9 orders of angels, and man, who is to fill up the number of the elect, is the 10th groat. He was lost by his sin, but was found again, because eternal wisdom restored him by lighting the lamp, that is, by assuming his flesh, and through that, working wonderful works which led to his recovery. End quote. Footnote. St. Gregory, Homily 34, In Evangelia. The offertory is an outpouring of gratitude and love for the God who dwelleth in Sion. He does not abandon them that seek him. He does not forget the poor man's prayer. Offertory. Let them trust in thee, O Lord, who know thy name, for thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing ye to the Lord who dwelleth in Sion, for that he hath not forgotten the prayer of the poor. Secret. Look down, O Lord, on the offerings of thy suppliant church, and grant that thy faithful may always worthily partake thereof, in order to their salvation. Second Secret. Graciously hear us, O God our Savior, that by virtue of this sacrament, thou mayest defend us from all enemies of both soul and body. Grant us grace in this life and glory in the next. The third secret is left to the priest's own choice. The preface is that appointed for all Sundays during the year, unless a feast is being kept which has a proper one assigned to it. The communion anthem recalls to our minds, and with much appropriateness, the merciful teaching of today's Gospel, now that eternal wisdom has regained full possession of the lost groat, by means of the sacred banquet, which he himself had given to the repentant prodigal. Communion. I say to you, there is joy among the angels of God over one sinner doing penance. Post-communion. May thy sacred mysteries, O Lord, which we have received, give us life, and cleansing us from our sins, make us worthy of thy eternal mercy. Second post-communion. May the oblation of this divine sacrament, we beseech thee, O Lord, both cleanse and defend us, and by the intercession of Blessed Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, of Blessed Joseph, of the blessed apostles Peter and Paul, and of all the saints, free us from all sin, and deliver us from all adversity. The third post-communion is left to the priest's own choice.